The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome to our Tuesday program here on Afternoons with Mike. We have a couple of guests lined up for you today. First of all, we've got Marina Hoffman. She's an instructor, a professor, an author, and a Bible teacher at Palm Beach Atlantic University. And then at the end of the program, a very special and important bit of news from Matt Staver that has to do with all of the stuff that's out there in the news media about vaccine mandates. And also, it should be pointed out that yesterday, Governor DeSantis talked about the monoclonal drugs that are available, like Regeneron, that are actually free. And if applied early on when someone is sick, they do amazing things in reducing the severity of symptoms. We're posting that video on our Shepherd Facebook page. So drop by and check that out. All right, right now, let's get into the program with our first guest, Marina Hoffman. Marina is based down in South Florida, and it is great to have you on the phone today.
Thank you so much.
You know, when I think about someone who has gone through the study that you've gone through, receiving a doctorate in Bible and theology, and then to apply all of that in a book, that's quite an accomplishment. And I just wanted to say thank you for all the hard work.
Thank you. It is a joy to bring light to the women in the Bible because they've inspired me so much, and I see in many ways them these stories inspiring others.
Well, you know, your story that you, I just read a short little blip on your own story.
Well, my story is really one where I'm so thankful to be raised in a Christian home. And my mom tells me that when I was about 3 and a half, I was sitting at the table with my godly grandparents and parents, and I suddenly asked why I was left out of a circle of love, I called it. And my mom, being discerning, said, you know, we have Jesus in our hearts. That's why we have love. Would you like Jesus in your heart too? And I said, yes. And at 3 and a half, we held hands at the dinner table and I invited the Lord in my heart. And really, God has blessed me because I've never rebelled against the Lord. I know that's maybe uncommon today, but I've always followed the Lord and always had a sense of his presence and the power of his word in my life.
That is such a great story. At 3 and a half, that is young, but the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? I mean, the fact that you never rebelled, you never walked away from that desire that was planted with parents. And it's so incredible to hear a 3 and a half-year-old mind describing as a circle of love.
Yeah, and you know, I have a little girl who just turned 3, and for months now, she prays every day for many people, and if someone says they feel sick, she'll say right away, let's pray, and she'll put a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. It's beautiful. She loves God's word. So I find watching her grow in her relationship with the Lord reminds me even of the legacy God gave me as a young child.
Oh, that is such a beautiful story. Such are the kingdom as children. I mean, they are such an example to us all. The faith of a child, and just hearing your story, that is a beautiful thing. Tell us about this accident and what happened leading up to it, and give us the details.
Yes, I had just finished my doctorate. I was up in Canada. My husband and I were literally going on a long drive, dreaming about what could be now that I wasn't doing schoolwork every single night and all weekend long. So we were just planning our future lives, where we would work. And I had already been in talks about moving down here to Florida. And out of the blue, a driver in front of us on the highway does not take a natural turn in the road and sure enough plows into us. We're going about 70 miles an hour. He's going 70 miles an hour. You can imagine the horrible car wreck that resulted at that speed. And it's literally a miracle that we survived and that we are both so high functioning despite all the injuries that came about that day.
Oh, that is horrible. So almost a head on, or was it a T-bone, or what kind of impact was that?
The car hit my husband's side and literally his own engine, our Jeep engine, was sitting in the driver's seat. But at the last minute, when my husband felt the brakes completely disengaged, he threw his body with his seatbelt on over to my side to protect me. He thought that there was no chance of him surviving, but if he put his body on top of me, maybe I would survive. And that was the first way that God really saved both of our lives. He was as best as he could, not in his chair, in his seat. And for me, I had a bad brain injury, but he had been holding my head against the headrest. So I think if he had not prevented a worse brain injury, I'm not sure I would have survived either. The medical professionals were very surprised both of us were alive. And in fact, the detective who investigated the scene in case it had been, a crime scene, he said that after 3 days of running his computer, there was no output that left my husband alive. So that's a little bit of concrete evidence that God really reached out to save us in that moment.
That is such an amazing story that he had the ability in that moment. I mean, think about how accidents happen in almost a split second. That was in itself a miracle that God graced him with the ability to think, I need to get out of this seat. I need to cover my wife to save her. That is such an amazing evidence of God's grace.
Yes, and then even the grace of the people around us. So we were the only car that got hit, but everyone around stopped. And the car in front of us, the person jumped out. He was a retired firefighter. The couple behind us were EMT workers just on a Sunday stroll. And they right away came to my side of the car. They heard me screaming and trying to get out of the car. And somehow they knew that I should not move. And they suspected I had bowel injury, which was true. And the surgeon said a day later that if I had tried to stand up, I would never have done so. By the time I raised my body, the bile would have gone through my whole system and I would have died on the spot. So a second way God saved my life is having those people right there. And I know it's hard to imagine in Florida, but it was negative 30 degrees. It was much colder than putting your head in a freezer. And those three people stood in the cold for 48 minutes until the ambulance arrived. So I praise God for their grace also in reaching out to me to save my life.
Oh my goodness. Now, a brain injury is so extensive. So how many weeks were you in, like, the condition of, I don't know if you were alert at all during our post-surgery. Were you alert or were you in a coma?
I was in a coma. I was not in a coma. I was alert. But at the same time, those days, my reality was not correct. I remember for a long time feeling that I was completely alone and not knowing where I was and not even aware of the things around me. I didn't recognize that I was in a hospital. And I kept wondering if my husband was alive. And I've been told since then I was never, ever alone. My family was there. They kept telling me over and over that my husband was going to live. But I, in my mind, I was completely alone, completely desperate. And God's presence was so strong. And I remember that although I felt so utterly alone, I have never felt closer to God in my life than just knowing that he was there with me. And my mind should have had many verses from years of studying. But I guess with my brain injury, I only had one line from scripture in my head that I said over and over, to live is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I didn't remember the second half, to die is gain. In that moment, to live is Christ was all I could think about. And it was my truest testimony, not just in a beautiful spiritual sense, but I believe even physically that God was holding me together.
That is beautiful. How has your recovery been from all of that?
It was a challenge. I had severe amnesia and still I don't remember hardly anything from before the accident. I had severe PTSD for several years, depression, anxiety. It was 2 months before I could even say yes or no without stuttering extensively. So I had to relearn my first language of English and everything else I had learned. But I like to say that physically, God healed me and did a wonderful miracle that day. But also, God worked a miracle in the years that followed as He gave me the strength to keep going. And when I felt like I was taking two steps backwards for every step forward, God still gave me the courage to keep moving forward, to keep trusting that somehow this suffering was part of God's plan and that God would bring about good. And I tell you the truth, Mike, at this point, that I know God's hand was in everything that happened. And as crazy as it sounds, I'm so thankful for that accident because it made me such a better person and so able to minister and bless others that I can't imagine my life if I had never gone through that experience.
You know, the scars of life do that, don't they? They really do give us a different perspective. I think they give you a compassion and an ability to even grieve with people who have gone through a difficult experience, such as what you've gone through. It is just amazing how God uses what looks like terrible things for not only His glory, but for our good.
That is 100% my testimony. And even when someone has a trauma, I have a friend who got in a car accident 2 days ago. And I think the first question we say is, what are we going to tell them? How do we pray? How do we help? These are very hard questions. But once you've been through suffering, somehow God gives you the grace to know exactly what to say and exactly how to pray and somehow to know what you can do to reach out to that person. And even in that, there's a blessing, isn't there? There's a blessing of having the words, and it's not made up or memorized. It's just from my own heart and experience. And I think what would have impacted me in that moment, let me just share that truth with this person who is going through suffering as well.
You know, the scripture talks about comforting one another with the comfort that we ourselves have received. And that's exactly what you're describing.
It's beautiful, yes.
This accident happened, as you mentioned, just after all of the schooling, all of the hard work, all of the classes, and you got your doctorate. At what point in time in your studies did you feel yourself being drawn to studying women as you have, women in the Bible? How did that happen?
They've always been stories that were a bit of a mystery to me because I hadn't heard many sermons on them. So I was excited to study the women in the Bible academically. And then after my accident, of course, when I eventually in the months that followed began to return to my scholarship, I saw these stories in such a new light. And the truth I had studied before was still there, but something about their stories resonated with my own experience because many times they are desperate, they are broken, they are trusting God for something in human terms that is absolutely impossible. So their faith really inspired me.
Mm, that's beautiful. Their Bible is replete with many inspiring stories about ladies in the Bible. And, you know, that is such a powerful thing to be able to have that desire. And then all of a sudden, God's thrusting you into a situation that is going to demand that you depend on the grace of God, the same way that these women that we read about were depending upon the grace of God in their lives.
Yes, and I really praised them all before and was amazed at how they had faith. And then after my accident, the hidden aspects of Scripture, the fact that although they had faith, it must have been hard. I think we can all resonate with that without the Bible telling us that overtly. It is hard to put your faith in God. It is hard to trust when there's no evidence around us that God is at work, but just to keep moving forward. So some of the hidden aspects of Scripture really came to light as I considered my own experience and my own challenges in trusting God.
You know, in a moment we're going to hear, well, in our next segment, we'll be talking about the book that you've written and your real heart for the specifics of ministry to women in the women today about women in the Bible. But how do you feel? How would you answer this, that the accident, besides what you've already said about giving you compassion, the head injury to a doctor, a head injury to a teacher, that could be a career-ending accident, and yet you've made it through to where you're continuing and you're thriving, really, in what you're doing with one of the top universities around. How do you answer people when they say, how did that happen?
Well, I had the job arranged before the accident, and my dean contacted me and said, so are you coming in August? And I said, no, we've been in a car accident. I didn't even want to answer the phone. I was so embarrassed by my speech impediments. And so we delayed a year. And then he basically said to me, well, I've got you on the register. I mean, your name is listed beside the courses. And I realized in hindsight, that's a small detail that can be rearranged. But we came down to Florida, my husband and I, and we were driving around, just appreciating the beauty of Florida. And we basically asked ourselves, what could go wrong and what could be worse? We were struggling so much. The winters were hard. So we took an act of faith to come down. And I'm thankful so greatly in hindsight for the push from my dean to come and his acceptance of my challenges. And then my students, they just breathed life into me. And I'll share a story. At first, I really tried to hide all my weaknesses. The fact that I would forget things or details, I really tried to pretend as though everything was fine. It was very stressful. It was very exhausting. And by the second week, I was teaching an Old Testament class and we came to Exodus. And I was sitting at home reviewing hours so that I wouldn't stutter in class. And it dawned on me, here I am about to share the struggles of the Hebrews and how God intervened miraculously for them. And I was ashamed of my own testimony and tried to hide it. So with great fear and trembling, and I don't exaggerate, I was so scared. I stood up in the end of that class and I shared with the students my own story and how I too was struggling. And God had done so much in my life, but I still had a way to go. And Mike, at the end of that testimony, I did not even look up. I was so embarrassed. And when I finally looked up, there was not a dry eye in the room. And the poor girls in the front row, they were literally weeping. I mean, they had dirty Kleenexes all over. It was so beautiful. And I thought, this is incredible how the Holy Spirit has filled this room and moved these students so much. And from the rest of the semester, it was wonderful because if I forgot a verse, I mean, they were so fast Googling it and they said, this is the reference, this is the verse. If I got a word wrong, they just jumped in to support me. So it was phenomenal to me how my weaknesses actually became the strength of the class. And we were so bonded because it brought us all together. And the fact that it humanized me opened up the door for a beautiful relationship with my students and a bond in Christ that continued to carry on as I shared my testimony every semester.
Marina, that is fantastic. Now, clearly to me, it would sound like your healing really has come along wonderfully, because the things you're describing about your speech and all of that that you suffered then, I don't hear that at all now.
No, it's amazing how God has brought me so far. And part of it, I think, has been supernatural. And part of it has been working through my humanity and just the courage to keep speaking in public, even when I did have a stutter. And the more I spoke, the more I got better. And my poor husband, I would sing and sing and sing. I don't have the best voice, but I sang all day long in hope that that would help my speech. And it did. And bit by bit, I would do math and hope that that would help my speech. So I'm a little bit of a go-getter kind of girl. So I practiced music and math a lot, hoping that would impact my language skills. And I think that's a great testimony, too, just that in all of our lives and all of our struggles, we pray and trust God. And then with all our human courage, we do what we can as well. And together, God weaves a beautiful testimony of his work in our lives.
This is a tapestry of beauty. We'll be back with her in a moment. She's going to tell us about women in the Bible. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com. to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. On the line today with an instructor at PBA and an author, Marina Hoffman. It's so nice to hear her story. It really is a story of amazing healing. It's a story of faith in Jesus. The fact that Marina, at a very young age, 3.5 years old, really had an encounter with the Lord through loving parents that just guided her. And just a beautiful thing to hear that you never rebelled. You always grew up with that sense of God being near. That is a beautiful thing. And how wonderful it is that He put it in your heart to not only know Him, but to help other people know Him better through writing, through your studies about women and their stories from the Word of God. Wow. What story do you feel really maybe connected you with this desire to study?
Well, I started reading Genesis right at the beginning after my car accident. And when I came to this story of Hagar, something resonated with me so strongly about her position. So here she's a pregnant woman, and her story is often shadowed by Abraham and Sarah, but there's a beautiful chapter in Genesis where we see her on the run. She's in the wilderness by herself, a very unsafe place as a pregnant woman with animals and caravans going by. And in that moment of great desperation and aloneness and probably confusion, it seems she has no plan. In that moment, the angel of God encounters Hagar and calls her by name and gives her such a sense of self-worth and value. And as this angel speaks, she realizes she has encountered God. And in her bad choices and her dangerous situation, God meets her and looks after her. And to me, that was such a reflection of my own life, how in my desperate times, I too have encountered God in such a real way. And His presence is never far from us. And no matter the decisions we make, God's eye is on us and He calls us by name.
Now, you saw obviously in Hagar's life the fact that she had great hope in that middle of that terrible moment, when she would have felt all alone and desperate and all of that. And that is exactly what you encountered as well, the hope from God.
Yes, in her desperate situation, God gives her a promise for the child she has. So when Hagar goes back to the family of Abraham and Sarah, I think we can say she does not go back the same person. She has hope for the future. And even though the situation seems the same and it seems there's no difference in her life, the hope that she has, that God has given her a future and her child is a promised child, surely gives her the strength to face whatever suffering she has. And that was my story as well. When I felt that I was so sick and so limited in my human abilities, I knew that God had a purpose and that He was calling me to keep going forward day by day and to trust in the years to come, I would be able to look back and see His hand on all that happened.
Wow. Suffering is something that she went through, and suffering is something obviously that you went through. I can start to see how that this accident in your life, it really has given almost like a new wellspring, a new kind of like an oasis of thought way down deep in your soul, that all of these stories that you read about, they tend to come to life, and then you can almost empathize and feel from your own experiences perhaps what they felt.
Yes, and you know, the story of Hagar often gets criticized because here the Lord sends her back to a place where she suffered. And that's a hard fact in this story, but I think it's one so many of us resonate with. Just because we encounter God in a mighty way, and just because we have hope for the future, it doesn't mean that our suffering suddenly ends and that we no longer have struggle. The beauty of God, in some senses, is that through our struggle, His presence is with us, even when things are not immediately resolved.
Mm, that is beautiful. Now, I know another theme in your studies with women in the Bible is courage. Tell us about that.
Yes, I love the theme of courage among the women. And sometimes they are famous and sometimes not so famous. And I often think of the story of the midwives. And they are present at the beginning of Exodus, a book, another book of miracles, right? All the things God does to save the Hebrews from Egypt. And yet our book starts off with the simple story of two midwives. And they're bringing children into the world. And one day, the king of Egypt tells them to stop. And if it's a boy, they are supposed to kill the child. Now, I think from the get-go, we can conclude that the king asked the wrong two women to kill the children, because their whole career is about bringing life, and that's where their heart lies. So what do? I mean, here's a situation. Do they bring about life and put their own life at risk by disobeying the king? Or do they obey the king and then go against everything in their nature to bring about and preserve life? So they decide to keep doing their job. They keep saving these children, bringing them safely into the world, and they find a clever way to stand up against the king of Egypt. And I love the dichotomy in that story, because God does an extraordinary miracle through them, and yet what they do is simply to keep going with their job and to keep doing what God has called them to day after day and not let anyone stop them. So it's an extraordinary outcome through ordinary means. And again, I resonate a lot with that, because some days I feel all I can do is just keep going forward. But if I just keep doing what God has called me to, even in the lives of my family and my students at PBA, through that simple act of obedience, I know God is doing something extraordinary in their lives.
You know, sometimes we are being called to obey God. I think of Peter in the New Testament when they looked and they said, well, who are we going to obey, God or man? And there comes a point for a lot of us at times where our conviction is going to be challenged to one degree or another. And that's exactly what was happening to these midwives. They chose, as you said, to go with what they were doing in their life, and that was to bring life and to nurture life and protect life. And thank God they did. We would not have had Moses otherwise.
Yes, again, we never know the outcome of our ordinary acts when we submit to God and we live in faithful obedience, even when that means going against other authorities that would want us to bring about destruction and death.
Mm. Now, I know another theme that obviously you can identify with these women in the Bible, and that is overcoming challenges.
Yes, I mean, there's so many challenges that the women in the Bible overcome that we also have. And that's such a beauty when we study their lives. We realize that these women lived thousands of years ago, but faced many of the same challenges as us. One example for me in my life is I was told I could not have children after our accident. So imagine now when I come to the story of Hannah, who faces the same challenge. Mm. She's been trying for years to get pregnant. It's not happening. So being able to look at her response to God and learn from it meant so much. And it just really brought to light the fact that first, she is willing to give her pain to God. And what a beautiful starting point for our lives, too, to open up our heart in this sacred moment to tell God how we really feel and our fears and concerns. Mm. And then Hannah prays. Again, not just leaving her pain with God, but praying that God will intervene in her life. And then there's this amazing verse when she finishes praying where it says she got up and she went on her way and she ate and her face was no longer downcast. And what's amazing to me is that her face is no longer downcast, even though there's no way God could have already answered that prayer. So to me, it was a lesson to say, I too can give my pain to God. I can pray and I can hold up my head, even though the fears and doubts and concerns and the gravity of my prayers is still left there. God hasn't answered yet, but I can go forth in trusting God and hold my head up high.
You know, what I love about what I'm hearing in your testimony is the fact that you are, as a teacher, you understand that the scriptures and that these stories, they carry a very specific meaning and a very specific purpose. But in theology, we study and we realize that there is this kind of like a spillover effect, that these stories kind of spill over into their original intention, into their from their original audience even, and they spill over onto us. And that is exactly what is happening with you when you are describing these stories from the Bible. It's spilling over into your life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think also the stories, they intertwine so much. You talked about the outcome of the midwives being Moses, and they could have had no idea of that.
Right.
And we think of Hannah too. Look at the outcome of her life, this incredible spiritual leader in Samuel. And when I read the story of Samuel, I really see his mother's influence. He's a man of prayer. He's a man that faces at times everyone against him, right? These impossible situations. And yet he has faith and trust in God. And just like we have this beautiful, intimate moment where Hannah pours out her heart so real to God, we see the same thing multiple times in Samuel's life, where his relationship with God seems so real and authentic and personal. So again, just the outcome, we have no idea the outcome when we put our faith in God and we walk in obedience.
Wow. I can't imagine how much your students enjoy listening to you teach, because you are inspiring, Marina. This is very exciting. And the passion that God has given you, which obviously that passion has been affected and I believe greatly enhanced by your own personal walk with the Lord and the things that you've had to go through. They've really done a great job. And I just want to say to you, this is very interesting and very powerful. And I really do appreciate it. When you look at the scriptures, and obviously you've connected so wonderfully, even with these that we've already been given, tell us about your own inspiration. What really whets your appetite for more study when you read the word?
Well, lately, the woman who has really inspired me is Mary, the mother of Jesus. I was thinking about that a couple days ago, and maybe it's because I love Christmas year-round. I love it. I love everything about Christmas, and I love that Mary, this wonderful example for us, is at the very center of this story of Christmas, and it reminds me that we have a connection to her life as well. And I think of the images of Mary that come to mind, and she seems so far from me and so holy and so perfect. But I love when I read her story, because sometimes those images only give us one half. And I think of how she's called to bear Christ. But Mike, you and I and our listeners today, we are all given the same mission to bear Christ, not literally, but in our actions and our words every day. It's so beautiful. And when I feel that sense of connection to the story of Mary, I think, well, how did she do it? How did she become such a faithful, inspirational woman? And some themes that are in her life are just this commitment day by day to keep following Jesus. She keeps popping up in his life, this instance and that, all the way to the end, his death, his resurrection. She's a witness of the resurrection. And then it would seem when Jesus's life is over, surely her mission is complete. And yet we find her in the upper room. So what a call to do everything that the Lord has given us as a mission for our life to the very fullest.
Now that preaches what you just talked about right there. You're right. That is so good. I think so many people do not realize that she went on even post-resurrection. The upper room happens. Her influence is still there. And what an influence that had to be, to realize that in the first century church, these early disciples who were going out, like in Acts chapter 4, when Peter, James, and John are going out, and then they're locked back up in that room and they're all praying, God, they said, please consider the threats and the words that they're saying. Shut up, don't say anything, and move among us. And the Bible talks about that place was shaken by the power of God, and numbered among them in some of these early meetings like that one would have been the very mother of Christ. That is a powerful thought.
And that's so beautiful, because I think a lot of us also connect to what you're saying right now. We too are waiting for God to do something amazing. And maybe in the last couple years, more than ever before in our lives, saying, God, please intervene. And what an encouragement to keep waiting, to keep pressing on, to keep praying, because God will break through. His presence is on our earth, and he has a mighty plan, even when we don't see it in the fullness right now.
Oh, that is so well said. You could never have dreamed, if you could have even had the thoughts, you know, in the early days of those treatments, when they were really just working to save your life, you would have had no idea how powerfully impacting that accident was going to have in your life as a teacher. But I can tell you today, you're doing great with that. And this book is fantastic. Tell us about your book that you've written. How can we get it?
Yes, so I look at 8 stories of women in the Bible, and it's fine for personal devotions, but I so value the sense of community as we study God's word. Even you and I talking back and forth, it's so rich to talk about God's word with others. So I've chosen to expand it from a personal devotion to a Bible study where you can gather friends. There's free videos on my website, so small group leaders do not need to be at all intimidated. You can just start by playing a free video, no ads, no need to give me any of your personal information. And then the Bible study book has an icebreaker, a bit of background information to give you context, lots of really thoughtful questions that create discussion and connect the readers to these ancient stories, just as we've done on your show today. It's about $14 and available on Amazon.
Now, if they go to Amazon, give us the exact keywords.
Yes, it's Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study by Marina Hoffman.
And that Marina is MarinaHoffman. And yep. This is something that I'm going to be checking out myself. This is so interesting. And it is very inspiring to hear not only your viewpoints and your thoughts, which I think they have been very fresh for our listeners today, your thoughts and insights into the stories that so many of us are aware of, but it's just wonderful. And to realize that people can go there and see videos and actually do small group studies, and it's all free for them to do. That is amazing. And the website is womeninthebible.info. womeninthebible.info. Marina, thank you so much for being with me here today. It's really been a joy to talk with you.
Thank you, and I hope your listeners are really encouraged with God's presence with them and the encouragement to move forward day by day, trusting God for great things in their life.
I agree. That again, womeninthebible.info, Marina Hoffman, my guest. And friends, we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. It is always a privilege to have Matt Staver from the Liberty Council on the line. Matt, thank you for joining me today.
Good to be with you.
You know, Matt, this is, we always talk about the craziness that's going on all around us, and never have I seen, and I know you feel the same way, so many angles, so many different directions going governmentally, from a health standpoint, and the latest craziness that's going on right now are the mandates for a vaccine, which we know is not a true vaccine. It's being called that, but it's not. But things that have never happened before, like such a mandate to get an inoculation, that's happening now, and it's happening at breakneck speed, isn't it?
It really is. It's absolutely insane. It started about 2 weeks ago when the VA issued this directive that all of its employees, the T38 healthcare workers, have to get the shot, and they have 8 weeks to do it. Then the Biden administration's DOJ issued this twisted memo that had the audacity to say that the federal law and the FDA statements in the fact sheet for these COVID shots, which say very clearly, and they acknowledged it even on page one and throughout their memo, that individuals have the, quote, option to accept or refuse, close quote, doesn't mean you have the option to refuse. It means that we have to tell you you can refuse. And when we tell you you can refuse, you can no longer refuse. I mean, that's as absurd as saying that the Miranda rights are satisfied when you are told you have the option or the right to remain silent. And now that we've told you, you have to speak. So that has opened up the floodgates around the country. We pushed back against the VA, and the VA quickly and quietly put up on its website a religious exemption opt-out form, which they have to do. But the damage has been done, and so consequently what has happened is Biden has then mandated it for other federal employees, and some states are doing something similar. And then the private sector went crazy, thinking that they had a green light to move forward with these mandates. And so we are working with literally thousands of people, and our phones and our communication channels are full with requests, people from the military, people in healthcare, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, people in all sectors, students in school or about ready to return to school. It is absolutely absurd. We've been, however, very, very successful at getting people to have religious exemptions, but it's a huge task.
You know, a religious exemption is wonderful and helpful for those that are able to grab a hold of that and get it. I guess the big question would come into just the exemption as being an American, a civil exemption, if you will. What about that, Matt?
Well, certainly under these EUA, which is the emergency use authorization provisions or products, and all three of these COVID shots are under EUA, everyone has the right, regardless of religion or any other reason, to accept or refuse. That's very clear. That's absolutely stated in the law and by the FDA, and it's in the fact sheets as well for each of these shots. It's quite clear. So as long as the EUA law is in existence, as long as these remain under emergency use authorization and don't have FDA full approval, it's very clear, simple, and that is you have the option to refuse. End of story.
So from a legal standpoint, Matt, when you compare this, the vaccine, as it is called, for COVID to any other vaccines that we've ever known in American history, were any of those other vaccines, did any of them ever receive the same kind of intrusive effect or impact from the government as what this one is having?
Not quite the extent of this one. The one that comes closest to it, and it's in a far distant second place, is the swine flu vaccine under Gerald Ford. He rushed it to market just like these COVID shots without the proper testing. And then the CDC got involved with its propaganda machine, just like what we're seeing now. They were showing how easy it is. And they were also saying how many hundreds of thousands of people would die from the swine flu. And so some people started getting the swine flu shot, and then others immediately began getting Guillain-Barré syndrome. Some died, and after 53 deaths, that was a failed experiment, unfortunately, and the people were guinea pigs, and they shut down the system after 53 deaths. But understand right now, we're having more than 53 deaths every single day for the last 7 months of these COVID shots. So every single day, we have, over the last 7 months, 7 days a week, consecutively, had more people die from the COVID shots than all the people that died from the swine flu. And they stopped that for a good reason. And yet now what we see is this propaganda machine keeps on pushing the idea that these are safe. They're not. They're most catastrophic emergency use authorization. They're the most catastrophic medical drug. They're the most catastrophic vaccine ever rolled out in American history. More people have died from these shots in 7 months than all of the people combined over the last 31 years from all vaccines. That should tell you something. And those numbers continue to skyrocket every week. Moreover, they're not only not safe, but we now know that they're not effective. And we're seeing that in the United States with people who are having all the shots, and yet they're getting the COVID Delta variant. We're seeing that, for example, in nations right now that just got put on the warning by the CDC not to go there because of the breakout of the Delta variant, Israel and Iceland, two of the most vaccinated places on the planet, number 8th and 14th, respectively, in the entire world. And what do you see happening there? You see happening there, like you see the same thing in the UK and other places, and that is a very high vaccination rate and a very high skyrocketing Delta infection. Now, contrary to the narrative here in the United States by the CDC and others, and Fauci, for example, that, well, okay, you've got breakthrough cases. They have to admit that now. They now admit it, although they denied it before. They now admitted that, yes, you can get COVID Delta variant if you have these shots. But then they say, well, but it's not going to be as severe. Well, let's look at some real stats in Israel. They're a little bit further down the road than we are because they have a higher population percentage that have received the shot. And so now what they're seeing is not only is it not effective in preventing the COVID Delta variants, but those that are getting the Delta variant are in more serious situation than those who never got the shot in the first place. So 64.5% of those that are hospitalized right now with the Delta variant and 67% who are considered seriously ill from the Delta variant have all had all the shots. So you have not only the fact that it's not effective, but the people who've had the shots are getting more serious conditions secondary to the Delta variant.
You know, Matt, when we think about the role of government, historically, we all, those of us that took civics classes and government classes in school in the 60s, 70s, 80s, probably the early 80s before things started really changing in what was being taught about American history, we would have been taught that the primary role of government is to protect the citizens. And it seems, now you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that on this one, there's so much going on right now where the citizens of our country are being told something that may not even be half true, not even close to being true, and yet the government is still doubling down on this. What from a legal standpoint, are you seeing?
Well, yeah, I think it's absolute insanity. It's a travesty because what they're doing is they're pushing forward with a shot that they are wanting to mandate and inject in everybody's body, and people are dying from it. Not only are they dying, we have a catastrophic tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. Actually, it's in the over half a million plus. It's at about the 550,000-570,000 range of people who have had adverse reactions, and that just represents less than 1% of actual. So you take that and multiply it times 90, for example, that's would be if it's only 10% of actual, and historically it's only less than 1% of actual. And you're going to see what the real numbers are. Mm-hmm. They're staggering numbers, and there are people who are disabled. There are people who are crying for help. We meet them all the time. We interact with them all the time. This is the biggest crime against humanity, against our own people, and it's a real tragedy because there's a big propaganda machine that wants people to live like in a communist utopia where they're only going to give them one viewpoint, and that viewpoint is false.
Mm-hmm. And that viewpoint is being put out there not only by the government, but the news media as well.
Exactly. Yeah, the news media is just as complicit. So is social media and so forth. So it is a very serious situation. And frankly, it's life and death, and it's life and death with regards to these COVID shots, not COVID. In fact, what is also life and death regarding COVID is the censorship regarding preventative care and early treatment of COVID. And too many people have died or they've been hospitalized that could have been prevented from such situations with regards to proper preventative treatment and early treatment of COVID.
Like with hydroxychloroquine, that kind of a thing.
Exactly. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. There's over 200 studies on hydroxychloroquine, about 60 studies on ivermectin, showing that it's very safe and effective for treating COVID. Also, nutraceuticals. Do you ever hear the CDC or FDA or Fauci say, look, you need to have vitamin C, D3, zinc, quercetin? You need to put these in your regular diet so that you can have a strong immune system. And then when you get COVID, you need to have early treatment with various kinds of hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, a Z-Pak or some other kind of antibiotic, and various kinds of medical sequenced that are very safe devices and drugs that are on the market.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this is so hard to believe that our own country is not really paying attention, giving any credibility to these kinds of treatments. And I it's hard for us to get our brain around the whys of all of that. But I know you're dealing with it in real time. You've got real questions constantly coming to you. And I think one of the biggest one is going to be what kind of teeth do these mandates have? What would be your answer to that for those that have not yet been given a mandate, but let's say in the next month or two, their employers may be coming to them telling you, you've got to have the shot. What can they do?
Well, for those that have received such a mandate or know somebody who has, they need to go to lc.org, and click on the legal help tab and fill that out. We also have there a sample religious exemption form. You also can, or a letter that you ought to put in your own words, but fill out the form. We'll be in contact with you. And you can also go to lc.org/vaccine. We have a lot of information there. I encourage you to spend some time under adverse reactions and personal stories. And you can find out the information yourself. For those, for example, who have not received such a mandate, you're fortunate. But what we ought to do is stand up with those who have. And so we have walkoutwednesday.net, encouraging people to walk out and protest their places of employer or their school or choose any other day, but find groups in your community and stand with them, because this is really a protest for freedom. It's not a protest against, it's a protest for freedom, because right now freedom is being taken away.
You know, a lot of doctors are really coming out right now, and they're standing before school boards and other boards that their testimony is being heard and it's being circulated. It will be interesting to see if the woke media, be it social or otherwise, will kind of quiet all of that. But they're coming out and saying that the variant is going not in spite of, but because of this vaccine. You're hearing that as well, I'm sure.
Well, in fact, if you go back to an October 2020 PowerPoint presentation or Zoom presentation that included a PowerPoint by the FDA, October 2020, they have a slide. We have it on our lc.org/vaccine, and we have the entire PowerPoint. And in that slide, it goes through lots and lots of side effects and adverse reactions, including death from these shots. And the very last one was vaccine-enhanced disease. What is that? That means that this particular shot can actually make you more susceptible to a COVID variant, and not only make you more susceptible to get it, but more susceptible to have a more serious reaction from it. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now.
Wow.
So what is happening here with this breakout is not because of the quote-unquote unvaccinated. It's because of those who have received the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only was in the October 2020 FDA presentation, but it was also pointed out in early studies in January and February of 2021 that this is, in fact, something that was feared because of what and how this particular shots, they work, and they're very different mechanism from any previous vaccine.
Wow. That website again is lc.org/vaccine for more information, right?
lc.org/vaccine. That's correct.
Okay. Matt Staver from the Liberty Council, as always, my friend, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And that is all of our time. Don't forget to check out our Facebook page for the video on monoclonal drugs. Thanks for being with us here on The Shepherd.